Just in time for Reformation Day, Concordia Publishing House has a new graphic novel titled Luther, Echoes of the Hammer. This Luther biography is written and illustrated in a fun, comfortable format. Browse before you buy at issuesetc.org. Or you can purchase Luther, Echoes of the Hammer by calling Concordia Publishing House 1-800-325-3040. This new Reformation resource costs $12.99 plus shipping and handling. Luther, Echoes of the Hammer, the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for October. This story is, well, it's just a story of death in a lot of ways. When you consider the scope of the final plague that God would send on Egypt, it is horrifying. And right on schedule, God sends that plague, and at the same time, it is a story of life. It's a story of judgment. It's a story of salvation. It all is centered in this meal called the Passover, where there is a sacrifice made and blood is spread. And, well, if you're a Christian reading that story, you immediately begin to think of its fulfillment in Jesus Christ. And we will as well in the next half hour. Deaconess Pam Nielsen joins us to talk about the Passover in Exodus chapters 11 and 12. She's editor of Witness, Mercy, and Life Together for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. Pam, welcome back to Issues, Etc.
Thank you. It's great to be back.
It comes as the 10th plague against Egypt, but also as salvation for God's people Israel. What is God saving them from in the Passover?
Well, in a very real sense, he's saving them from the captivity of being slaves in the land of Egypt under Pharaoh and his rule, and he's physically freeing them from that. They're going to leave that country, and they are going to be on their way to the promised land that God has promised to give them and to lead them to. And spiritually, you know, this is all tied, as you said in the opening, in your opening remarks. This points to and points forward to the ultimate Passover by the blood of the Lamb of God, who sheds his blood on the cross for us and causes death to pass over us so that we might have forgiveness, life, and salvation by his blood, freed from the bondage of sin, death, and the devil that we are all under. And so these two events are connected, and Christ is the fulfillment in his blood being shed, the fulfillment of the many lambs that would be slain and roasted and eaten to remember this night of the Passover, as God commanded them to do this in remembrance. But now, for us as the children of God, the Lamb of God, the Son of God, Christ Jesus, became the final, the ultimate Lamb who was sacrificed for us and for our salvation.
So tell us the story found there in Exodus 11 and 12.
Sure. This is ongoing, as we, you know, we talked about the plagues last week, and we talked about how Pharaoh's heart was hardened. He hardened his heart, and God finally gave into that. Sign after sign in these amazing supernatural plagues that only God could bring about, nothing was shaking Pharaoh up. And so we have now in Exodus 11, the Lord saying to Moses, "Yet one plague more I will bring upon Pharaoh and upon Egypt, and afterward he will let you go from here, and he will drive you away completely." And so God tells Moses this is what he's going to do, that at about midnight he'll go into the midst of Egypt, and every firstborn in the land of Egypt shall die, from the firstborn of Pharaoh, even to the firstborn of the slave girl, and even the firstborn of their cattle. So a night really of death of all the firstborns in Egypt. And there'll be a great cry, but then God says, "But not even a dog shall growl against any of the people of Israel, either man or beast, that you may know that the Lord makes a distinction between Egypt and Israel. And all of these will come and bow down to me, saying, 'Get out, you and all the people who follow you.'" And so all of this is God's laying out what's going to happen. They're going to be able to leave. They're going to be begged to leave. Please leave, because of all of the death all around. And then the Lord tells Moses, you know, Pharaoh's not going to listen to you, and it's so that my wonders may be multiplied in the land of Egypt. And so Moses and Aaron do all the wonders, and as we know, Pharaoh makes no, it doesn't faze him. So then the night of the Passover, and the people are told that that they shall take a lamb on the 10th day of the month, and they will take the blood of it and put it over the doorpost and the lintel of their houses, physical sign, blood smeared on the doorpost, and they'll eat the flesh of the lamb, they'll roast it, and they'll have it with unleavened bread and bitter herbs, and they shall eat, and they'll eat it all, or burn up what is left, and they'll do it ready for the journey, ready to leave with their sandals and their belts buckled in their travel clothes, and they'll eat in haste, for God will pass over the land of Egypt, and he will strike all the firstborn. And this is exactly what happened. The people did as they were told. They painted their doorposts and lintels with the blood of the lambs. They roasted, they ate, and the firstborn throughout Egypt died, but not the firstborn of the children of Israel. And God told them that that would be a day of Memorial Day for them, and that they would keep this feast and never forget it. And we know that even to this day, Jewish people celebrate the Passover as one of the most holiest days in the Jewish religion. And we as people of God have a different Passover, and we'll talk about that a little later when the angel of death passed over us because of the sacrifice of Christ. But this is what happened. The people were able to leave, and it was quite a night, and they left Egypt after that time. And that was after 430 years of being in Egypt, and quite an event at the hand of God.
Talk about that lamb. You can almost do a side-by-side comparison of what God says of this lamb, kind of the requirements of this lamb and how it is to be treated in the sacrifice and the meal, and Jesus Christ himself.
Well, that's right. There's very much to compare. Christ is our Passover lamb. His life-giving blood covers us. And we're brought from the death of sin to life. And if you go verse by verse, and there's even a chart in the adult Growing in Christ this week. And I don't know if we sent that to you. If we did, you feel free to put it on your website. But this is really quite something. Verse 12:3, take a lamb. We look in 1 Corinthians and John 1:29. It's clear who the lamb is, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. The Son of God, Jesus Christ. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male a year old, as the account in Exodus tells us. And Christ is the sinless one who comes to us as one of us, yet without sin. The whole assembly shall kill their lambs at twilight. And that's a real connection to Jesus' death on the cross at about 3 p.m. That was the end of the day on Good Friday. And by the ancient time reckoning, the next day, the Sabbath, begins at approximately 6 p.m. So there's a connection there if you understand how time was looked at in those ancient days. The detail of the blood And what they were to do with it is really is fulfilling and fulfilled in the meaning of Christ shed blood for us, not in any literal doorposts, but his blood being shed for us and the blood of those sacrificed lambs. And, of course, the detail of eating the lamb is fulfilled in the Christian Passover meal, the sacrament of the altar, where the pastor says to us, take and eat, take and drink. This is the body. This is the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, given and shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. So very clear connection. And it's not a connection that we just make haphazardly. Scripture makes the connection for us all throughout the New Testament. The Gospel of John offers us much on this. The book of Hebrews, 1 Corinthians in chapters 10 and 11, there's lots there that makes a clear connection between this first Passover and Christ being the complete and ultimate Passover lamb.
So we'll talk more about this on the other side of the break, but with only about a minute before we take that break, is it any coincidence that Jesus institutes his supper, his last supper for us to do as often as we eat and drink it on the Passover night, when the Passover is being served?
No, there is coincidence. There is significance in that, because in Jesus doing that, he's making very clear that now the final, the complete sacrifice of the Lamb of God to be remembered, to be instituted in him, in his sacrifice, that would happen a few days later on the cross, the next day on the cross. Very significant that it is on that same night. Jesus makes that connection for us and makes it very clear. We don't sacrifice lambs anymore. We don't sacrifice anything, because he was the final and complete sacrifice for our sins, and he shed his blood on the cross for us and for our salvation.
Well, when we come back, we're going to talk about the fulfillment of the Passover. And when we say fulfillment, we mean it, not just a new supper that was instituted within the context of the old supper, but its fulfillment. In Jesus' body and blood given at the cross, in Jesus' body and blood given to us sinners to eat and drink for the forgiveness of sins. We'll be right back. In 1521, at the Diet of Worms, Martin Luther was asked to recant his writings. Luther responded, "Unless I am convinced from the sacred scriptures that I am in error, I cannot and will not recant. Here I stand. I cannot do otherwise. God help me. Amen." Will you stand with us as we proclaim these Reformation truths in the 21st century? You can take your stand by becoming a monthly or annual contributor to Issues, etc. To find out how you can become an Issues Etc. confessor, apologist, reformer, or patron, check out the donate page of our website, issuesetc.org. Just look for the picture of Martin Luther posting the 95 Theses. Help us proclaim the solas of the Reformation: Scripture, faith, grace, and Christ alone. Here we stand, Issues Etc., and you.
The essence of God's Word. You're listening to Issues Etc.
If any former evangelicals are hearing me speak right now, I want to assure you, you don't have to be a homeless Christian. If you would go to issuesetc.org, look on their website, you'll find a list of churches. Find one close to you and attend that church. There, you can receive the true gospel, you don't have to be a homeless Christian, and they will not call you a backslider.
To find a church near you, go to issuesetc.org and click Find a Church.
Here are two new ways to stay connected to Issues Etc., Facebook and Twitter. You'll find photos of in-studio guests at facebook.com/issuesetc, and you'll find a list of upcoming topics and guests on Twitter at issuesetc. Social networking for the thinking Christian, facebook.com/issuesetc, and on Twitter at issuesetc. Connect with fellow Issues Etc. junkies today, facebook.com/issuesetc, and on Twitter at issuesetc.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. 10 more minutes with Deaconess Pam Nielsen here in the first hour of the program on this Monday afternoon, the 31st of October, talking about the Passover. Now, you said before the break, Pam, that we don't sacrifice lambs, and that we don't sacrifice anything. The final sacrifice has been made by Jesus Christ. So let's talk about that explicit connection between Jesus' death and resurrection for us sinners, for the sins of the whole world, being the real fulfillment and being given to us in his supper as the new Passover, as the Passover fulfillment.
Yeah, we have to talk about that, and teachers, you really have to talk about it. You can never teach this Bible story without making that connection to Christ and what it means for us today. We believe, we teach, we confess that Jesus is our Passover Lamb, that His life-giving blood covers us, and that we are brought from the death of our sin to life with God. In our baptism, God unites us with Christ, His Son, and He unites us with His death and resurrection, so that we now can believe that we will also live with Him. And His death, His sacrifice on the cross, reconciles us with the Father so that we are saved by His life. And in this Passover story, you know, and the connection to the Lord's Supper, we might call it the Lord's Supper, Holy Communion. It's the Christian's Passover meal because Jesus used this occasion of the Passover to institute His sacred meal. This original Passover meal, the one that we're studying this week, led up to and prepared for this greater holy meal of Christ's own body and blood. And really, the Lord's Supper is the fulfillment of the original Passover meal. And it works the same way that original meal did. The Lord's Supper is much more than a memorial meal, much more than a symbolic meal. It actually is a divinely given meal, and it delivers in the way God delivers us from our bondage to sin, death, and the devil. So this isn't just something we do, something we remember to do or have good thoughts about God. But when we receive the body and blood of Jesus in the Lord's Supper, we actually are receiving the forgiveness of sins, life and salvation. All of those things come to us in that meal, and death passes over us, and eternal death passes over us, and eternal life is ours because of Christ Jesus and His sacrifice. We're joined in this meal. We're joined to Christ, and we proclaim His death as a present reality, a reality of our salvation. We're participating in that moment. We're right here and now in this meal. We participate in His salvation. It's not just a matter of history, and it's not just a matter of the future. It's real for us now. We are free from sin, death, and the devil by His blood shed on the cross. It's an amazing thing that happens. And, you know, there's some great Easter hymns, Come Ye Faithful, Raise the Strain, from the early church that makes a connection for us between the Passover and Christ on the cross for us and this holy meal that we partake of. This is the Feast of Victory. We sing it every week in the liturgy. Come Ye Faithful, Raise the Strain. All of these things help us understand the connection between that and the final Passover of Christ on the cross for us.
One of the best things about the new Passover is that the first was once a year, and for the people to celebrate just that. They didn't do Passovers just in the old time. They did it at a certain time once a year, and yet the Lord has given us His Passover, His body and blood to eat and drink for the forgiveness of our sins as often as we desire it. Talk about that a little bit.
That's right. It is, it's not prescribed a regulation. It is it's a gift to us, freely given to give us what we need, the forgiveness of sins, life, and salvation. As often as we need it, as often as we desire it, it is there. And, you know, we encourage our churches, our pastors, to make this available to the people of God every week, because as we know, we daily sin much, and we daily need the Lord's forgiveness. And we come to God's house in need of forgiveness. And we receive it in this holy meal. And so it is there for us. It's a gift, pure gift to us from our Heavenly Father. No coercion, all gift. And it gives us what it promises, forgiveness of sins, life, and salvation.
You said earlier that Moses even goes so far as to record, by inspiration of the Holy Spirit, exactly how long the slavery had lasted. And from what kind of the scope of God's deliverance, talk about that, if you would, in the last few minutes we have.
Sure. Moses records, 430 years in one place, 400 in another. The point is, he's showing how God fulfilled and kept the promise he made way back in Genesis 15, verse 13, the promise he made to Abraham, and how he would bring about salvation and bring out the nation from Abraham and be with his people. 400 years they've been in captivity, and yet Moses here, as if to say to the people, look, God has made good on what he promised, a promise that they had remembered and had been taught, but 400 years is a long time. Let me remind you again, here God is doing what he said he would do for his people. And it's part of why we teach Sunday school and we teach these Bible stories, this whole story of salvation, true story, from the garden to the cross to our resurrection at the last when Christ comes again. We teach this to the children so that we remember and hear again and again what God has done for us so that we might be his own and live under him in his kingdom. It's so important that we recall these things and see where they fit, not just great miracles, amazing things that happen. No, they're more than that. They're all about our salvation.
Moses, God through Moses anticipates that this is something that will be passed on from generation to generation. It will be taught while it was being done. Can the same be said of the Lord's Supper for us Christians now, that the children do belong there, seeing their parents until they are instructed in the Christian faith sufficiently. They do belong there for the blessing of Christ in their baptism at the communion table with their families.
I think so. And, as I reread these two chapters in Exodus about the Passover, so much comes to mind about how the church carries out the Lord's Supper today and why we do it and why we instruct our children, why we bring them to the altar with us so they are part of this and they see it and they have that blessing of their baptism until it is time for them to partake of the meal, but that they see that this is all part of being in the family of God and hearing those words given and shed for you for the forgiveness of sins, the words that Pastor speaks as he gives out this meal.
Finally, with only about 30 seconds, is there a way to tie this in to this theme of mercy in this week's Sunday School lesson?
Sure. One of the connections I'm making, and you've got a link on your website, is the Israelites are leaving Egypt. There are people that are having to leave, refugees, particularly I'm thinking of in Africa, because of fighting in some of these countries where many, many refugees have had to leave the Ivory Coast and have fled to Liberia. And our church, the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, has been instrumental in providing food and drink and physical needs mercifully for these people who have left their homes, leaving everything behind, women, children, whole families, and very much in need of daily bread. And through our prayers, through our dollar support, through the World Relief Human Care of the LCMS, we're there. And there's a great story about it on the website and how our missionaries there in Liberia were able to help facilitate this and care for these many, many refugees. And this is a story that came just from April. They're still refugees and still in need. So something to talk about with our children and to remember to pray for the people who have to flee quickly without anything. and to ask God to provide for them their daily bread.
Deaconess Pam Nielsen is editor of Witness, Mercy, and Life Together for the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod. Next time we'll talk with her about the crossing of the Red Sea. Pam, thanks for being our guest.
Thank you. Have a wonderful week.
Folks, if you appreciate our weekly Sunday School lessons with Deaconess Pam Nielsen, please consider joining the Issues Etc. Reformation Club. It's our monthly or annual giving program. We currently have 189 members. Our goal is to have 200 by this coming Sunday, November the 6th. Now, when you join the Issues Etc. Reformation Club, you're not only supporting a worldwide outreach, you'll also receive premiums like T-shirts, books, transcripts, and advertising for your congregation. Find out more at issuesetc.org. Look for the picture of Martin Luther posting the 95 Theses, the Issues Etc. Reformation Club. When we come back, it's hour two of Issues Etc. We're going to spend some time talking about Halloween, Christians and Halloween. Is it just one of those holidays that Christians should avoid altogether? Is there something there, or is it just good, plain fun? Pastor Mark Butte will be our guest, and then we'll do a sermon review, a Reformation Day sermon review from Pastor Will Whedon at St. Paul Lutheran Church in Hamel, Illinois. That's hour two of Issues Etc., and it's coming up in 7 minutes. Stay tuned.
Christ-centered, cross-focused, you're listening to Issues Etc.